Jim Estes remembers taking a look around the bottom of Sitka Sound about 20 years ago.
When we were diving in that area back in the early 90s, the seafloor was just covered with urchins. And there were, there was virtually no kelp. There was urchins everywhere. 2 years ago, when we went back and looked at the same sites, there was not an urchin to be found, and there was kelp everywhere.
Estes is a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of California campus in Santa Cruz. His latest research takes a look at kelp forests and how much carbon dioxide they absorb. The otter connection comes because they eat sea urchins, which in turn eat kelp. Working with other researchers, Estes took a look at coastal waters with no sea otters and those with a full population.
The effects of sea otters in that system on carbon dioxide concentration would be significant. And by significant, I mean whether or not you have otters in the system would account for roughly an estimated approximately 10% of the total carbon. That's a lot.
And by cutting carbon dioxide, otters also reduce ocean acidification, which results from CO2 dissolving in water.
That's a whole other area of work that we and others have been looking at. But if, for example, you look at pH, which is a measure of acidification, and you measure it inside a kelp forest and then, say, a couple hundred yards away, it's always higher within the kelp forest, which means that the acidification level is lower.
He wants to be clear that the changes would only be in affected coastal areas, not worldwide. Otter populations are booming in southeast Alaska, and that's brought a lot of attention from fishermen, economists, and biologists.
I heard about this research a couple years ago when the findings were presented at a scientific conference, and we do, in fact, work with one of the authors of the study.
Verena Gill is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist who headed up the Southeast Population Studies. That research shows 12% annual growth in the southern part of the region and 4% in the north. Other coastal areas, such as Kachemak Bay near Homer, have seen even larger increases. She says the new report is good research.
I think it just adds another piece to the puzzle of the many jobs that sea otters do in a healthy marine ecosystem.
The new study focuses on waters from southern British Columbia to the end of the Aleutian Islands. Southeast and most other areas lost their populations to Russian and American hunters about a century ago. Otters were reintroduced over the past 50 years. In an earlier interview, Phil Doherty of the Southeast Alaska Dive Fisheries Association said their rapid spread and voracious appetite hits his members hard.
The areas that are the most affected are the areas that have the largest food source, and those are the species that we harvest, and those are sea urchins, sea cucumbers, and gooey duck clams.
Sea otters are a protected species, and only Alaska natives can hunt them. There are also strict limits on how their pelts can be sold or used. Some commercial fishermen and native groups have called for measures allowing more to be harvested. Otter supporters have fought for continued protection, in part because kelp forests offer shelter that boosts salmon, herring, and rockfish populations. The new research adds to those arguments, but Estes doesn't want to exaggerate impacts on the planet's overall carbon dioxide levels.
It's going to be pretty small. We haven't made that calculation, but, this is just a teeny little part of the world. And so I don't think the story really is relevant on a global scale. It just demonstrates a process on a local scale.
Estes co-authored the study with Chris Wilmers, another UC Santa Cruz professor, as well as researchers from other schools, including the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The study first appeared in the publication Frontiers in Ecology and the Environment. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.